Lady Amanda didn't make a habit of scouring London's streets for stray waifs, but when the rumours swelled to a fever pitch, she and her servant, Daniel Brixton, made their way to Oxenden Street to see the girl for themselves. It was, Lady Clifford would later recall, one of the few occasions on which she acted contrary to her habit. It wouldn't be the last. Not where Georgiana Harley was concerned. She was perched on the street outside The Crimson, a low gaming hell named for the crimson-coloured door, the one bright object in a neighbourhood of soot-blackened buildings and shadowy streets. Lady Amanda didn't emerge from her carriage, but directed her coachman to wait. She lingered far longer than she'd intended, watching the girl through the carriage window in silent fascination. She wasn't a cheat. Not in the strictest sense of the word. But neither was she simply lucky. She had a piece of rough board balanced on her lap, her eyes darting back and forth as she slapped the cards down with a deftness born of practice. One deck, two, half a dozen. The number of cards didn't seem to matter. Back and forth, counting and calculating. She didn't lack for culls, men of all sorts, high-born and low, penniless or flush, drunken or sober, paused for a game on their way past the Crimson. The meaner among them saw an easy mark and were eager to strip the girl of her winnings. Others, those with the guineas to spare, were merely taken with the novelty of the thing. Regardless, the pile of coins in the girl's lap continued to grow. When the weight became burdensome, or the dull glint of copper became too tempting to pickpockets, she'd scoop them up and secret them away in some hidden pouch, secure from thieving fingers. She wasn't greedy. She might have fleeced her victims for every last miserable shilling, but she was restrained. Judicious. This, more than anything else, intrigued Lady Amanda, as an existence scraped from the grimy London streets was more apt to drive one to avarice than subtlety. Luck? No. Lady Amanda hadn't expected the girl's gift would turn out to be divine good fortune, but neither had she expected to find a ragged little waif spinning survival into an art with every twitch of her agile fingers. An artist. In Covent Garden, crouched on the filthy street outside a gaming hell. Then again, there was nothing remarkable in finding art at a museum, was there? The real genius was in recognizing brilliance, even if one stumbled across it in the last place on earth they'd ever think to look for it. Chapter 1. Covent Garden, London. January 1795.
5 guineas, Hazelmere. Put 'em into Perry's hat and he'll see your rider mounted.
Benedict Harcourt, Lord Hazelmere, tossed the handful of gold coins in his fist into Lord Peregrine's hat, then fell to one knee in the street and peered over his shoulder.
Right then, Perry, I'm ready. Get her up, there's a good fellow. Ready, love.
Perry plucked up the girl waiting on the pavement and settled her on Benedict's back.
Hold on tight now, don't want a cracked skull, eh?
The girl took hold of Benedict's hair with a grip that made his eyes water and kicked her heels into his flanks, squealing with delight when he pawed at the ground and snorted.
Look at mine, Susanna. He's like a real horse.
More like an ass.
Lord Harrington steadied his own rider and smirked at Benedict.
He's got the face of one, if you ask me. No one did ask you, Harrington. Now be quiet, if you please, while I confer with my jockey regarding our strategy.
Benedict craned his neck to wink at the little red-headed chit on his back, then caught her legs to still her before she could unman him with her frenzied kicking. Harrington snorted.
What bloody strategy? Run down to the bottom of the lane and bag and don't lose your rider. Whoever makes it back first wins the lot. Only the worst sort of blackguard curses in front of a young lady, Harrington.
Benedict shot his friend a disgusted look.
Mind your manners.